Do you realize the fact that here he is, God, a very God, in eternity past? The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word was with God. That word with means face to face with God. That Jesus, not in the beginning of creation, but in eternity past, that Jesus was a part of the holy eternal Trinity that lived with God. And that Jesus stepped out of eternity and he came to this earth, took upon flesh to die for you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of This is Love, the Word became flesh and spread among us. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of This is Love, the Word became flesh and spread among us.
This morning we are looking at the Word became flesh and spread among us. This is love. This is love, that the Word became flesh and spread among us. When we think about corn, we see that a kernel of corn is planted in the ground. That kernel is planted and covered, in a sense, buried beneath the earth, and it springs up as a stalk of corn. And on that stalk, there are ears of corn. And from those ears of corn, we get many kernels that come forth. And that all comes as a result of one seed that's planted in the ground. And so we see here that God planted his son. God planted his son that we might, or that he might, have many sons and daughters to come forth. Jesus was the seed that died in the earth. And when he sprung up as a stalk, out of that stock came many sons and daughters. And that's why John 1:12 tells us that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. This is love. This is love. The fact that God created human beings with his very hands, and God blew the breath of life into those human beings. And I've told the illustration here before about the little boy who made a boat, and he made this boat with his own two hands. And he took his boat down to the river to see if it would sail. He put his boat in the river, and it just, the current took the boat away, and the little boy stood there and cried as he watched his boat go down the river. A few weeks later, he was walking through the town, and in the store window, he saw the boat that looked like his. Upon close examination, he realized that that was the exact boat that he made, and he went into the store, and he said, "Mister, that's my boat." He said, "I made that boat with my hands. Can I have my boat?" And the man told him, "Son, you know, I had to buy this boat from somebody, so if you want it, that you're going to have to buy it from me." And so the young man went and did a bunch of chores and earned money, came back to the store, paid for the boat, and as he was walking out the store, he held the boat in his hand, and he looked at the boat, and he said, "I have owned you twice. I made you with my own hands, and you got away, and I had to go and buy you back again." And God made us with his own hands. He created us with his own hands. He blew his breath of life into us, and we got away from him. And it was through Jesus Christ's death on the cross that God says, I'm going to buy you back again. This is love. This is love. That God would want to buy us back as wanderers, as sinners, as people that had walked away from him, that turned our backs on him, that this is love, that God reached out and took us back to himself. And that he sent his son, he planted his son in death so that God might have many sons and daughters. That's absolutely amazing. Amen. This is love. And so we have three things that I want to say this morning as we think about the word spreading. And the first thing that I want to talk about is what is the incarnation. The incarnation. And that is the word became flesh. John 1, 14. It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh. In your notes, it says, as the word. And we realize that Jesus is the word. If we went back to John 1:1, it would tell us in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen. So Jesus Christ is God. And so the incarnation is the word becoming flesh. As the word, Jesus embodies all that God is and stands for. He is the revelation of God in the flesh. This is known as the incarnation. I didn't say reincarnation. I said incarnation. And what is the incarnation? The fact that God would become a man. That Jesus, while remaining fully God, he didn't become half man and half God. He remained fully God. And all he did was wrap himself in flesh. And the flesh that he wrapped himself in was not the sinful flesh that you and I have, but it was a sinless flesh. It was a perfect flesh. And God wrapped himself in flesh and became a man, that the word became flesh. I was reading a story about Booker T. Washington in his autobiography. And he was sharing that as he grew up as a slave, he had to wear clothes that were made out of cheap flax. And he talked about how terrible the garments were. They felt like 1,000 needles that were pricking into his skin because of the roughness of the garment. And he talked about in his autobiography how his brother loved him so much that what his brother would do is that he would wear the clothes and kind of take or break them in, so to speak, and so that when Booker T actually started wearing them, that he didn't have to go through the discomfort because his brother took the discomfort for him. And so it is with Jesus, that Jesus took on flesh. He took on flesh so that he could work out all the discomforts that we experience in the flesh. He took upon flesh as our big brother who loves us so that we might be able to live the life that God wants us to live. That's what the incarnation is. The incarnation is Jesus Christ taking on the flax clothes that pricked him, the 1,000 needles pricked him, so that we might have eternal life. The word became flesh. That's the incarnation. And so we see that the word stepped down from heaven. The word became flesh. And so the question that I asked this morning, do I realize the sacrifice that Jesus made for us? Do you realize the sacrifice that Jesus made for you? Do you realize the fact that here he is, God of very God, in eternity past. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word was with God. That word with means face to face with God. That Jesus, not in the beginning of creation, but in eternity past, that Jesus was a part of the holy eternal Trinity that lived with God. And that Jesus stepped out of eternity and he came to this earth, took upon flesh to die for you and me. Have you ever thought about, have you ever realized the sacrifice that Jesus made? You know, a lot of times, you know, we might tell another person, do you realize the sacrifice that I'm making for you? You know, I don't know if you've ever said that or anybody has ever said that to you. Do you realize the sacrifice that I'm making for you? And just think about what it might be. You know, maybe you left the place that you were living, that you grew up in, that you liked, and you moved somewhere else to be with another person. Do you realize the sacrifice that I made for you? Maybe you took on extra jobs to put your child through college, and then as you put them through college and they graduated, you might not have said it to them personally, but maybe you had the thought, do you realize the sacrifice that I made for you? And just think, Jesus made a great sacrifice. He made a sacrifice that no one else could even come near. When you think about here he was in heaven, and what must heaven be like? Heaven is a place of beauty. Heaven is a place of perfection. Heaven is a place of eternal glory. And he left that to come here for us. Have you ever thought about what it meant for Jesus to do that? And I go back and I say, this is love. This is love. He would leave heaven for you and for me. This is love. We see the second part. The Word not only became flesh, but the Word became implanted with us. And I like this. If you could go back. I like this right here. God resided in the flesh in order to reside within flesh. What am I saying there? What am I saying? God resided in the flesh. That's the incarnation. In order to reside within flesh. That's the impartation. If you go to that next slide. The Word was made flesh, and now we see that the Word is deposited. The Word was made flesh, and now the Word is deposited within us, within me. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Glaze? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It's in your notes, so we can read it here. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in us, that is in the world through lust. That you and I are partakers of the divine nature. You know, there is a saying that all of us have a spark of divinity within us. Every human being has a spark of divinity within them. But I do know one thing, that if you are a child of God, you are a partaker of the divine nature. That the nature of God is within you, that God lives within you. Think about that. God, the eternal, almighty God, lives in you. So what does it mean when it says that we are the partakers of the divine nature? Because some people have got this wrong. There are people that say that it means that we are little gods. No, it doesn't mean that we are little gods. That's word of faith doctrine. Some people say it means that we are on our way to becoming God. That's what Mormons teach. No, it doesn't mean that we are on our way to becoming God. Some people talk about this divinity in us as pantheism, which pantheism says that God is in everything and everything is in God. No, it doesn't mean that. When it says that we are partakers of the divine nature, what does that mean? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you realize that? That the Spirit of God is living within you. Man, that ought to bring to mind that song that the kids sing and that many of us probably sang growing up. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. But the song goes on to say, the Father up above is looking down with love. Well, I can say this, that the God within knows when you sin. The God within knows when you sin. And so we are partakers of the divine nature. The Word became flesh. That's incarnation. Do I realize what sacrifice Jesus made for me? The Word became flesh to what? To live in me. That's impartation. And so the question that I ask is this. Am I allowing all the fullness of God to live in me? You see, I'm not going to get more of God, but He can get more of me. Can you go back to that other slide? Am I allowing God, or am I allowing all the fullness of God to live in me? You know, I was thinking, you know, how do you illustrate this? You know, we do baptism here. You know, I often get into a discussion. There's several Presbyterian pastors that I fellowship. We meet on a regular basis. And so, you know, the big thing is that, you know, they're always giving me a hard time about, you know, immersion, you know, because they talk about sprinkling. As a matter of fact, one Christmas, you know, that we gave each other Christmas gifts, and they gave me a coffee mug. And on the side of the mug, it said, good for dunking. And I said, but as we baptize here, and I meet with the baptismal candidates before the baptismal service, you know, I go through a set of instructions, and I tell them this. I say that it's me and the water that's going to do all the work. You know, all you have to do is just relax, and, you know, I'll have my arm under your back, and you'll be holding on to my arm here, and I'll take you down underneath the water, and me and the water will bring you back up. And if you just relax, everything will go smooth. But, you know, sometimes people get in there and they stiffen up, right? And I can feel as soon as they going down, I said, this is going to be a rough one right here, right? All right? So, you know, it's like the preacher, he was taking them down. You know, he took them down three times, and he said, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? And the person said, yeah, I believe you're trying to drown me. But you know, some people stiffen up, and when they do, I can feel them fighting it. And so that makes it harder. And so I try to not force them down. I just try to, you know, just go as far as we can. So a lot of times, you know, we might not necessarily get the whole face under the water. And generally it's because, you know, I feel the resistance and I don't want to, you know. But if you just relax and let go. And so God lives in us. And if we don't resist, if we don't fight against him, but if we just allow God to live in us and through us, that all the fullness of God will come out of us. But a lot of times we fight God because, you know, we want to do our own thing. Because we live in sin and we have become engrossed in an immoral lifestyle, or entrenched thoughts have entered our mind that cause the Spirit of God. Now it can't flow freely, and we're fighting against God. God is trying to take us down and bring us up and live through us. But we're fighting him. If God lives in us, then we need to realize that he can flow out of us. And that when people, when we go through problems, as God flows out of us, people see the God that's in us. That when we get in conflicts and confrontation with other people, what do they see? The God within us coming out of us. You know, so often, instead of allowing the God within us to come out, well, all right. You know, one thing I praise God for is that according to the scripture now, I know there's some people that might disagree with this philosophy, but a Christian can't be possessed by a demon. So amen, amen. I certainly believe, I believe that with all my heart. But some people don't necessarily buy into that. So it's not necessarily Satan that's flowing out of the believer sometimes, but the believer is heavily influenced by Satan. And all we need to do is connect with God. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. And when we connect with him, that his life just flows through. The reason that this plant is green and flourishing is because it's connected to the root. And the root drinks in the water and the nutrients from the soil, and it takes it up throughout the plant and nourishes the plant. If we just connect to God, if we just connect to abide, as Christ said, in me, then this life just flows out of us. It flows out of us. And we can handle. I'm not saying that we're not going to be distressed by situations, and I'm not going to say we're not going to be concerned, but we can handle any situation because do you realize, my brothers and sisters, that God lives in you? And that's, you know, some people look at that, and some people think that that's strange, right? I mean, the world, now just think of how crazy that is, right? If you really think about it. Just say, if we didn't know that the Bible said that, that makes absolutely no sense. That's ridiculous. And that's why when you talk to some people, you can't talk to them on those lines. God lives in you, but who are you that God lives in you? Right? And so the world doesn't understand these things.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of This Is Love, The Word Became Flesh and Spread Among Us. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, This Is Love, The Word Became Flesh and Spread Among Us, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request This Is Love, The Word Became Flesh and Spread Among Us. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request This Is Love, The Word Became Flesh and Spread Among Us. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.